This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, a Ugandan slum dweller becomes a UN changemaker, and Somalia is getting ready for an extraordinary electoral process. But first, an international court ruling which has found a man guilty of war crimes for destroying priceless mausoleums in Mali's Timbuktu has been described as historic, according to UNESCO. Welcoming the judgment by the International Criminal Court against Ahmed Al-Faqi Al-Mahdi, the UN agency said that it was a crucial step in ending impunity for the destruction of cultural heritage. Damage to the nine tombs dates to 2012, when Mali was in the grip of an insurgent group, Ansar Dine. Al-Mahdi was sentenced to 9 years in prison for his part in the crime. Here's Director General of UNESCO, Irina Bokova.
I would say that this is an extremely, extremely important matter. It means that impunity cannot be allowed. These are criminal activities and they have to be persecuted with all the force of the law. If we say that we have international law, we have some rules, we have to really be there as what is expected.
She also said the ruling supported the belief that heritage has a major role to play in reconstruction and peace building, while also highlighting how deliberate attacks on culture have become weapons of war. UNESCO has been pushing for culture to be part of peacekeeping missions. Ms. Bokova explains why.
I have always considered that protecting heritage, particularly when we see conflict, extremism, is not just a cultural concern. It is not just us, because we have the responsibility under different conventions to protect heritage. But the more the conflict was advancing and I have seen these destructions, the more convinced I became that protecting of heritage is part of the humanitarian response to conflict and part of the security also response to conflict.
The trial against Ahmed Al-Faqi Al-Mahdi is the first of its kind. Back in August, the former rebel pleaded guilty to war crimes for ordering the destruction of religious and cultural monuments in Mali's Timbuktu. Mr. Al-Mahdi also asked for forgiveness and provided a detailed account of his acts, admitting that he personally determined the sequence in which the buildings were to be attacked. Here's the spokesperson for the International Criminal Court, Fadi El Abdallah.
Mr. Al-Mahdi was viewed as an expert on matters of religion and was consulted in this capacity, including by the Islamic Tribunal. Mr. Al-Mahdi was very active in aspects of the Ansar Dine and Akim administration. He led the Hizbah from its creation in April 2012 until September 2012 and wrote a document on its role and objectives.
To determine the 9 year sentence, the International Criminal Court, or ICC, said it considered the gravity of the crime and found that the targeted buildings had a symbolic and emotional value for Timbuktu residents. The UN Secretary General welcomed the judgment and said it represented an important step forward in the fight against impunity in Mali. The upcoming electoral process in Somalia could mark a watershed moment for the country, the Security Council heard on Tuesday. After several delays, the parliamentary vote will take place beginning October 23rd, followed by presidential elections at the end of November. The indirect elections prepare the path for universal elections in 2020. Daniel Dickinson reports.
Monumental is how the United Nations is describing political developments in Somalia. The electoral process will bring about various changes, including the election of a new upper house of parliament, based on geography and not on traditional clans. The electoral college, which selects representatives, will also be broadened from 135 men to more than 14,000 citizens, 30% of whom must be women and 20% youth. Michael Keating is the UN representative in Somalia.
The 2016 electoral process is a novel and exciting experience for a country that last held national elections in 1969. It is best described as a political process with electoral features rather than just an election. The electoral model is imperfect. No one is entirely happy with it, and that may be a good sign. It is literally extraordinary, a one-off never to be repeated again.
The Horn of Africa country continues to battle the terrorist group Al-Shabaab, which could threaten the elections. African Union troops have been supporting the national forces in driving back the extremists. Francisco Caetano José Madeira heads AMISOM, the AU mission that's been in the country for nearly a decade. He spoke via video conference from the capital, Mogadishu.
It becomes extremely important that this time the offensive is not only for us to remove Al-Shabaab from its hideouts, but we need to effectively occupy the cities and towns that Al-Shabaab is presently occupying so that they do not come back and retake those towns.
The AU troops will begin leaving Somalia in late 2018, 2 years before the country is expected to hold one-person, one-vote elections. But before then, Somalia's foreign minister, Abdusalam Hadliye Omer, said political hopefuls are working hard to win the hearts and minds of citizens.
The Somali people are waiting and ready for this process to complete. The Somali leadership are committed in doing it, and the only game in town is the electoral process. While it has not happened as quickly and smoothly as we hope, it will happen, and it will happen within the new timeline we have set out.
The foreign minister called on the international community to continue to support Somalia in its transition towards democracy and stability. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
A young Ugandan entrepreneur who grew up in a slum has been chosen to act as a United Nations change maker to promote better sanitation and waste management. Samuel Malinga, who now runs a company called Sanitation Africa, has been nominated by the UN as one of 17 young leaders for Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. Aimed at eradicating extreme poverty while also combating climate change, the 17 internationally agreed SDGs will guide global development priorities over the next 15 years. Daniel Dickinson asked him which SDG target he will be promoting.
Number 6, that is clean water and sanitation. I believe that if people can get clean water and sanitation, they will not suffer from diseases. This makes them more productive, and they can do so many things, and they live a healthy life. My experience in engineering has made me innovative. I was able to develop technologies, toilet options, which tackle problems in slums, and also I developed pumps to pump sludge from hard-to-reach areas like slums, yes.
And of course you have experience as a very young boy living in a slum in Uganda, in Kampala. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so many people in Uganda, they have no space for digging new pits. Their hard-to-reach trucks cannot access, so several people used to suffer from diseases like diarrhea, cholera. So I came up with innovative sanitation solutions to solve such problems, to tackle it. I believe tackling sanitation issues will make people more productive.
And how was it as a young boy to live in a slum?
It was hard and challenging, but it was a learning lesson for me because it kept me thinking to come up with solutions to such problems.
How do you think now, as an SDG young leader, you can inspire other young people?
Yes, I believe this platform has given me exposure, and I can share my story with very many people. I believe the youth can do it. They just need more positive energies to be told and to be encouraged. I believe they need to be mentored and be given some leadership positions where they can advocate for their rights. Thank you.
It's a tough sell, though, isn't it? You have a lot of work to do to persuade young people to be involved in the sort of work that you've been doing.
It's tough, but it's very exciting as well. And I believe it's a good assignment for me to learn from. And I have a good support from the UN who will mentor me and give me possible contacts where I can learn and grow my talents.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.